go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. Here we are. Here we go. It's hot back here, and I'm already stupid from the heat. Here we go. Off and running on this 16th day of June, 2022. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. If you pop over to headon.live, well, you can first and foremost help us keep the program on the air. We've got a... Where's the number? Let's see. What is it? We got a fundraising goal this evening, because we always do. It stands at $755. Thanks to everybody who helped meet Nedia's challenge yesterday, last evening. Thank you so much, Nedia, for making it. $755. So basically, we are unfunded for this evening, yesterday, and slightly less than half of Tuesday. And it would be wonderful if we could not be up over $1,000 for Friday. Yeah. But anyway, if you pop by headon.live, you can, of course, also jump into the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And if you should happen so to do, well, you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers, and that means Theo and Squeaky and Anatole. Hey, Theo. Hey, Anatole. I'm glad you're back out from under the TMI medical procedure, Theo. I'm glad it went well. And welcome back to Solid Food. I know how that goes. I know those moments. The steel eel and things like that. gives me the shudders just thinking about it. But anyway, we begin every program here at The Horn with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you. Profound and grateful thanks to our 16th day of the month subscribers. That means we say thank you to our buddy Zed, and thank you to Mark, and thank you to Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Frank. Thank you, Frank, so very much. Thank you, that gets us to, Frank came in. Okay, that was you. So, Frank, thank you for helping knock things down yesterday. That means we're actually at 735. So thank you, one and all, for being willing to help keep liberal, progressive, independent broadcasting alive and kicking on air. Let's see. It's 90 in this, 90.7. 90.7, your easy, cool jazz listening favorite. Oh, God, that voice. Stop it. Make it stop. I have a precious little tortie who is completely stretched the entire length of her... Just flopped out on the linoleum here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. You'll be capably moderated by a longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Sparky, you missed a little fun yesterday. Brain popped by for the first time. We haven't Goodbye, brain. How can we miss you if you won't stay gone? Bye now. Bye-bye. Yeah. Don't go away mad. Just go away, brain. So that was a thing that happened. And this program will be somewhat attenuated. It'll be cut short a little bit because I have a meeting I have to attend this evening. Once a month I have one of these meetings and I got to go to it. So I'll be bailing out of here a little bit ahead of time, but there should still be plenty of time for conversation and plenty to converse about, of course. Let me check, taking a look, of course, at so I'm looking forward, we're going to hear from Paul from Parts Unknown in the next hour. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you very kindly for letting me know, Paul. Looking forward to the conversation. I will absolutely bird dog the stress line to make sure that I don't screw up and miss when you call in. Now it is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I had a note from Joy in Ann Arbor earlier, and it is being echoed by email right now from Flavio. Judge Luttig, I'm sure he is a very informative guy. Just a tad, soporific. Oh my God, way to go, January 6th committee, says Flavio. Joy said it took Luttig 3 weeks to say y'all are going to do it again. And you know, I thought I was the slow talker. Because remember, it takes me, because I did the Hi, I'm Robin part. It takes me every bit. It takes me 15 minutes to. Say my name, because we're like that in the South. So, we can start there. There's a number of other possibilities as well. Oh, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs is offering a $25 challenge. I'm offering a $25 challenge in honor of Drumpf.
I demand equal time.
And Eric Swalwell's response, equal time means sitting your lying ass in a witness chair. We'll wait. Got it. I love it that there are people who push back on Nitwit Nero. I really, really do. And look, before we get into the talk about the committee hearing and must see TV and that sort of thing. It being Thorn in the Side Thursday, you know, some thorns hurt worse than others. This is kind of one of them. I mean, this is just evil. And of course, it being evil, it comes from Texas. Sorry, John Bredow. It has to do with It has to do with Uvalde. And I guess this could just as easily have been... this could just as easily have been something for prayer meeting Wednesday, but... Well, evil is evil is evil is evil. And... This is just evil. I don't have it in my being to say something this unbelievably, unforgivably vile. So the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, who is, of course, the indicted Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. They invited him to come on some right-wing garbage fire talk show to, I guess, unburden himself of how much he hates trans kids, and they got into Uvalde as well. And this is the moment of... This is the moment of evil.
It might give a little comfort.
Look, I think it's difficult to give comfort. If I lost one of my children, I'd be pretty devastated, especially in a way that is so senseless and, you know, seemingly has no purpose. I think I would say...
Now, hold the hell on. This is some pretty tormented language. The question, the setup to all of this... is some dude, he's a right-wing radio blatherer. He's also a gospel sharp by the name of Trey Graham. And being a gospel sharp, he said to Ken Paxton, could you offer a bit of comfort? Give a little comfort, you know, to the parents whose children were pulverized and decapitated in the massacre at Uvalde at Robb Elementary School. A little comfort, Pastor Trey Graham asked for. A little, not a lot. We don't want to overcomfort them as they grieve, as their lives are shattered beyond repair or recognition. We don't want to get just a little comfort. And that's how you get the audio that we just heard, and that I'm going to start again because that just made me. And then, listen to what Ken Paxton says he would feel if one of his children were to, I don't know, be pulverized by semi-automatic weapons fire in their fourth grade classroom at school. Right.
It might give a little comfort.
Look, I think it's difficult to give comfort. If I lost one of my children, I'd be pretty devastated.
If he lost a child, he'd be pretty devastated. Pretty devastated. I mean, more than just devastated, but not entirely devastated, just pretty devastated. I mean, this is what happens when you're deep into the art of word knowing and you've got an editor's soul. And you play with a little bit of poetry and try to distill ideas to their most essential meaning. So you notice when the Attorney General, the indicted Attorney General of Texas, the godforsaken Republican POS that he is, says, I'd be pretty devastated if I lost a child. I presume, I could be wrong, but I presume there's a Mrs. Paxton? And, you know, well, I would think that maybe when he got home that day, she's pretty devastated, Kenny boy. Pretty devastated. I carried our kids for 9 long months each. Pretty devastated, Ken. Pretty devastated. But that's not as bad as it gets. Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Especially in a way that is so senseless and, you know, seemingly has no purpose.
Yeah, especially he'd be pretty devastated, especially if it was in a way that it was seemingly this guy is hell on adjectives and adverbs, seemingly so senseless. Seemingly. Like he's still not sure that maybe there's a good goddamn reason 19 fourth graders were pulverized beyond recognition. Seemingly senseless. I had a feeling the hissy would start early this evening, but it... Seemingly senseless. Seemingly.
I think I would... So I would just have to, if I had the opportunity to talk to people, I'd have to say, look, there's always a plan. I believe God always has a plan.
If he had the opportunity. He's not saying that that's the opportunity on the right-wing radio show with the gospel sharp, who's ostensibly a follower of Christ Jesus. No, that's not the moment. But if he had a chance, he would explain to those parents who had to give DNA samples to prove that the little pieces of body scattered around the floor were actually pieces of their children, he would explain to them that God always has a plan. Fuck him and fuck his God. You know, for a long time on this program, we've referred to Yahweh Jehovah as the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. And I guess, well, you know, being an evangelical Christian, Ken is much more in touch with, in tune with, simpatico to the Old Testament Jehovah God who runs around smiting people and telling the children of Israel to kill them all, except for the virgins, and to take the virgin girls and give them to the priests to rape. That's the God that Ken Paxton is in touch with. And yes, it's really there in the Old Testament. Kill them all, except for the virgin girls, and then give them to the and then give them to the Hebrew priests for them to throw a number six on. At the, you know, number six dance. You know the reference. I know. Arthur says, ah, come on, Robin. He'll probably cry for a whole 10 minutes. How much more concerned or devastated can one get? Thank you. Ralph serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, informing us this evening that Ken Paxton, the indicted Attorney General of Texas, who wants to take children away from their loving parents because their loving parents would rather see them transition than be suicides. Ken Paxton... got up on his wife and grunted and groaned for a couple of seconds, four different times, and, you know, rutted around on his personal Miss Mayeller, and it resulted in four children. Wonder if the kids have heard this.
Hey, son. I'd be pretty devastated if somebody blown you away in fourth grade. Pretty devastated. Yeah.
But God has a plan. God apparently, I don't know, at the beginning of time, picked out four names and put them in, or 19 names, and put them in a fourth grade class at an elementary school in the far part of West Texas and said, hey, I'm going to have y'all chopped into chutney with semi-automatic weapons fire. Ain't God good? I remember the great Mississippi comedian, Christian comedian Jerry Clower. And, ain't God good? That was his tagline, his signature line. And he had books and records. Ain't God good? Hoo-wee, that's a good God right there, having a plan for slaughtering 19 little ones. Can somebody please explain to me why anybody wants anything to do with these filthy religions? Well, that's how you know, Randy Radar says, that's how you know who wrote that part of the Bible. Yeah, no kidding. Yay, virgins to rape! Funsies! I know. Hmm.
life is short no matter what it is, and certainly we're not going to make sense of, you know, a young child being shot and killed way before their life expectancy.
Yeah, life is short no matter what. It was a hell of a lot shorter for those 19 kids in the fourth grade at Robb Elementary than it has been for you, Ken Paxton. And rest assured. Yeah, I mean, what's this God has a plan business? God created the kid knowing that the kid was going to grow up and be a serial killer themselves, and so he arranged for the kid and 18 others to be slaughtered in their fourth grade classroom at the end of the school year in Uvalde, Texas. Is this how that works? God creates the serial killer, and then God has the serial killer slaughtered before they can become a serial... Theology is hard. You know, Ken Paxton's another one of those people that if you subject them to what I call the It's a Wonderful Life test, the George Bailey test, you know, George stands there, his life falling apart before his very eyes in a horrifying financial crisis, and he stands there in the cold, cold winter weather, looking down at the frozen river from the bridge above, and he's thinking about just ending it, because he's reached the conclusion that that it would have been better had he never been born. And of course, the beautiful thing about It's a Wonderful Life is that we get to watch and find out how much better the world was because George Bailey was in it. How his brother survives a near drowning, who survived a near drowning because George saved him and lost hearing in one side of in one of his ears, but saved his baby brother, who went on to save a plane load of troops in the Second World War by shooting down he was in the Navy, and it was a Japanese aircraft, and he shot the aircraft down before the Japanese aircraft could shoot down the transport plane with all the troops in it. Yeah, and we find out that, you know, the town there would have been transformed into a nightmare hellscape called Pottersville by old man Potter, who cared only for money and nothing for human beings. Yeah. And we find out that you know, Mary would have never married, never had the little Bailey kids, and would, you know, live alone as a sad librarian. And even the watering hole that had been Martini's became Nick's place with a young Sheldon Leonard. Sarcastically throwing out the bums and saying, "Get me! I'm giving out wings! Ka-ching! I'll have a flaming rum punch. I'll bet you will." And so, you know, it would have been far worse had George Bailey never been born. Well, out of that, I came up with what I call the George Bailey It's a Wonderful Life test, in which we ask the question regarding various people: would the world have been better off had that person never been born? And, you know, Hitler's an easy one. Stalin's an easy one. But I have no problem whatsoever saying that the world would be a better place had Ken Paxton never been born. The world would be a better place had Greg Abbott never been born. God knows the world would be a better place had Nitwit Nero never been born, and had the part of him that got born run down his mama's leg like the rest of him did. That's one of those Southern sayings, you know. Best part of you ran down your mama's leg. And in Nitwit Nero's case, it may be mean, but it's true. I mean, this is some heartless, soulless shit. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Grieving Parent. Your kid was slaughtered because Texas allows 18-year-olds to buy assault weapons, but not pistols, Texas lets 18-year-olds buy semi-automatic firearms, semi-automatic rifles, but they can't buy a beer. Yeah. But who knows why this happened? It certainly had nothing to do with the access to the firearms by a disaffected, miserable incel. A black-pilled incel. No, that couldn't be. No, that wasn't it. That couldn't be, no, no way. Nope, 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 nope. And among other things, you know, Ken Paxton opposes gun safety measures that are favored by President Biden and, you know, decent human beings.
To say, look, there's always a plan. I believe God always has a plan. Life is short no matter what it is. And certainly we're not going to make sense of, you know, a young child being shot and killed way before their life expectancy. And so even though we can't make sense of it, I'm just have to encourage them to hold on to their faith and to hold on to their belief.
Yeah, they'll hold on to their faith and hold on to their belief, but they're not going to hold on to their children. Those children were pulverized by an 18-year-old young man with a semi-automatic rifle, so there won't be any holding on to that, not even a little bit, not even a little scrap of the kid left laying on the schoolroom floor. Nope. Sorry. And naturally, he, like I said, he's opposed to anything being done about access to firearms or young men, young disaffected, black-pilled incel men who decide to take the way of heady murder. And you know, according to Newsmuck, he also was interviewed by a dude named Chris Salcido, another right-wing POS. And Paxton said, whatever the law they're trying to pass, if it violates the Second Amendment, we're going to fight them. I don't care who it is. They have no right to take guns away from law-abiding U.S. citizens or restrict their use. Yeah, we wouldn't want to restrict the use of semi-automatic assault rifles to say maybe they shouldn't be used to slaughter 19 fourth graders. I mean, he opposes that. Mm-hmm. And the problem with young Salvatore Ramos is Salvatore Ramos was one of those law-abiding citizens. He was perfectly A-OK to buy those assault rifles the day after he turned 18. You damn right. This is exactly what the Founding Fathers tried to prevent. They were trying to prevent the government from having an advantage by having weapons the citizen didn't have. This is, of course, not in the least bit true. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And a senior advisor to the former Health and Urban Development Secretary, Julian Castro, posted it. Sawyer Hackett. I'm glad he did. I mean, at least, you know, at least with these, as heartbreaking as they are to run a, to deal with, at least people like Ken Paxton remove all doubt of anyone who might see them as having even a shred, the most meager shred of common human decency. Nope. Yeah, yeah, Ralphs. Ken Paxton offers tots and pears. Grr. I know. God, this was so disgusting. A little Lucy purr got up and left. And so, you know, scum of the earth, Ken Paxton. But it's not exactly an out there position for a Republican in Texas to take. Ronnie the Candyman Jackson, former presidential physician and now a shriekingly mad Republican white-wing member of the Congress,
said of the bill being proposed in the House or in the Senate that's being talked about, which wouldn't keep 18-year-olds from buying assault rifles, which wouldn't really do a hell of a lot of anything, but it is something. Said, I will never support any violation of your Second Amendment rights. What's being proposed in the Senate is a disgrace. It must be rejected. There's 10 Democrats and 10 Republicans in the bipartisan Senate negotiating group. What Ronnie Candyman Jackson is apparently outraged by and calls the disgrace is making the juvenile records of an 18-year-old trying to purchase an assault rifle available for inspection. As long as they're under 21. States will get, for instance, another one of those disgraces that's so high dudgeons Dr. Candyman is the fact that the federal government would provide funds for states to implement red flag laws that could take firearms away from, you know, the kind of people who shoot up fourth grade classrooms and kill 19 little kids. It would require people, some more people, not all people, selling guns to actually get a federal firearms license. But there's no federal red flag law in the actual legislation. March for Our Lives said, this package is not perfect, but it's a major step forward in the first gun reform package likely to pass both chambers of Congress in 30 years. This will not put an end to gun violence, but this is a first step, and we will continue to push for more aggressive policies. A spokescreep for Dr. Ronnie Candyman Congressman Jackson, Ronnie Jackson, in Rush Limbaugh voice, a spokescreep for Jackson said, Congressman Jackson will have more to say on this proposal when the bill text is released and if it comes to the House for a vote, but he'll never support gun confiscation laws, which this isn't, unless taking firearms away from people who are homicidal maniacs getting ready to, taking away law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights with no due process as red flag laws make possible is a non-starter for Congressman Jackson. Y'all piss off. It's a non-starter. And, of course, I mean, you know who else. Clanny Oakley will do it. We'll vote against it, too. Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball, Marginal Trailer Queen, will vote against it. You know. Matt, it just gets worse. We'll vote against it. I just got a notification that Nitwit Nero's hitting the road. He'll be heading Saturday, June 25th to Mendon, Illinois, to the Adams County Fairgrounds. He's playing the county fairground circuit now. Like his racist predecessor, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Arthur says, true, we can't make sense of a child being shot, but we can make sense of a quarter of the country being ready for violence after 40 years of right-wing radio about how they're being persecuted and constantly encouraged to consider shooting people they don't like because they were told these were the nefarious conspirators plotting their downfall, while the right-wingers actively made it possible for these people to get virtually unlimited and unrestricted access to weapons of war. True on all counts, Arthur. Well said, well said. And from Lady B, 40 feet from certain death and other exciting stories. As you all know, I'm not the smartest person. Now quit that. I am truly terrible at math. Same girl. And if I've gotten any compliments on my writing ability, it's only after several rewrites and a good friend who acts as my editor. Well, everybody should...
I forget who it was. It was attributed to Twain, but it wasn't Twain, and it wasn't W.C. Fields either. Some wag once observed that every editor should have a pimp for a brother-in-law so he'd have someone to look up to. But that's not true. Editing is so... Oh, Lady B. Anytime I publish, you know, an essay or anything like that, you may rest assured that it has been edited within an inch of its life. I'm a relentless, remorseless editor. Because I'm absolutely obsessed with making sure that I'm saying that I'm coming across with what I intend to say. And, you know, I've got poems I've been editing for 20 years. They've been through so many revisions, in some cases, they're not even the same poem anymore. Anyway, Lady B says, however, I do write from the heart. I supplement my writing with research because I was a curious child, and then, after being trained as a journalist, I am compelled to make sure people know mostly of whence I speak. Oh, yes. Sister, I get it. I want people to know also that what I was writing was as accurate as I could make it. I was a huge Stephen King fan as a kid. I wanted to make people feel like he made me feel, excited, scared, and satisfied that they had finished another great piece of writing. Despite all that, I am very ignorant, Lady B says. I have a tendency to pop off at the mouth, if not in my speech, and certainly in my writing. I always feel compelled to tell people what I've observed and how I feel about it. This is what I observed, this is how I feel about it, and this is how you should feel about it. It's selfish, it's off-putting, but it's me, I guess. But in light of recent events, I know this. This is what I've observed. This is real, it's visceral, and it's quite disturbing. You should be angry. You should be pessimistic. Our world is burning, figuratively and literally. To quote Philip Collins and the gang, this is the world we live in. These are the plans we're given. And now that's stuck in my head. Thank you. Today's hearing left me absolutely gobsmacked. I wish I could write as beautifully about these hearings as the writers who are scripting the hearings are doing. I say beautiful because you better believe writers can put fingers to a keyboard far better than I ever could. They can and they should. It is critical that they do. They've laid this all out for the committee, the producers, and the video editors to read and follow. It's precise and detailed. The interviews alone offer a plethora of insight. They are killer. The interviewees are incredibly smart men, and yes, it's mostly men. Of course. It's mostly men. And Lady B continues, they may not have been involved in the plot all along, but they knew what was up. They know Trump is a madman and that he would do anything to maintain his tenuous grip on power through his less than tenuous grip on reality. But these interviewees are the power behind the power. They had to keep their mouth shut and wait for the right time and place, because what they know is serious shit. Now is that time and place, and in detail they laid out what they knew about the plan that had been set in place to overthrow the United States government. Trump really didn't have to work that hard at this attempted coup. He just tapped into the anger and discontent of not just a handful of us, but all of us. This ship started on the wrong course years ago. I'd like to point the blame at Reagan, but the sad part is, it might have started as far back as the 60s. The morning after the presidential election in 1964. And the thumping, the drubbing of Barry Goldwater. In your heart, you know he's right, but in your guts, you know he's nuts. When the Republican Party said, never again are we going to get drubbed like that. The dominant group, the majority, was starting to be treated as ordinary. They were no longer the shot callers, the ones being exclusively catered to. Not even Tricky Dick seemed to be paying them any mind. But anger was there, simmering. Ronald Reagan gave them a spark of hope. George W. Bush and his sham of a Supreme Court decision election result gave them an opening. Rules can be ignored. We can take power back, and even if we end up channeling it through a barely literate, selfish idiot, we will win. We will truly be back in power. Today I heard a member of the committee say that Pence was 40 feet away from certain death. Had the mob had access to Pence, Pelosi, and other vilified members of Congress, they would have most certainly killed them with malice aforethought. What they thought they would have accomplished by doing so isn't important and doesn't matter. They were told to believe by taking them all out, things would go back to normal. Not the normal they grew up in, but the normal their fathers and grandfathers bitched and moaned and pissed and complained about. I'll leave it to middle-class white folks over the age of 50 to describe what that normal is, because it was never one of mine or my father's. Yeah, the good old days. What they call the good old days. The golden age of the American middle class. Trump, Lady B continues, is a useful idiot. Give him a camera and a script and he'll say whatever you want him to say. He knew what life was like before Carter. What life was like before Kennedy. His father was rich. He went to good schools. His father was a slumlord and a Klan member and treated minorities exactly the way he thought they deserved to be treated. He also treated his family with contempt, and that's the key to why Trump is such a sociopath. He's not that bright. Never has been. He's a broken man, his sociopath broken by the treatment and then lost by his older, smarter brother, whom his dad favored, despite him not wanting to follow in his sociopathic footsteps. He's still broken by the loss of his mom and dad, because dad could keep him propped up financially, whereas mommy just loved her special, slow-witted son, no matter what. At one point, there's a piece of video out there of Mary Trump in which Mary Trump says, "My God, what kind of monster have we created?" I just added that part. I can't resist editorializing when Lady B, this is like having a conversation on air with Lady B. Our former president was born in a household of selfishness and hate. He's also a flashy narcissist who never saw an object he didn't want to gold plate. Because as tacky as it looks, it still represents power to him. He sold gold-plated coins to the rubes, folks who grew up with his same philosophy minus the money. You can't be powerful unless you're keeping the less powerful down. Because when the less powerful get a taste of life like you've been living, then you're no longer living a special life. No one looks up to and aspires to be like you. Yeah, it's all sneetches, star-bellied sneetches, and sneetches with no stars upon theirs. Learned that lesson a long time ago from Dr. Seuss. There was a strategic coordinated effort by extremist militias and fundamentalist Christian groups to turn the country back in time to their good old days. There's the phrase. Back when women knew their place, gays stayed closeted, and the only men who wore dresses were doing it for a Halloween party or a fraternity hazing, or maybe they were Uncle Milty. I've got to confess, Lady B says, right now, I can tap into the anger. I, too, am frustrated with our government. Between the pandemic and the inflation that is supposedly a result of the pandemic caused supply shortages, things suck. Gas is friggin' $5 a gallon. My 2007 Chevy HHR now takes $60 to fill. 2 years ago, it only took $35. It's sickening and insane. And if those men and women were smarter, they would have had a much bigger crowd if they addressed shit like that. The rich are robbing us blind, telling us that by giving us a few stimulus checks as well as raising our wages to a survivable level during a goddamn pandemic, we're the reason why they had to raise the prices, hurting us even more and making themselves even richer. Congress can't agree with the Senate, and vice versa, even on shit that would help us all, like free health care or paying off a young parent's student loans. Trump wasn't capable of doing that. It wasn't in his wheelhouse. The only debt in health care that mattered to him was his own. Nothing mattered to him but his own wealth and safety. He spent years living a crooked life and got to live four of it in the highest position in the land, if not world. He may fall from relevance, but he'll still get a check. Some folks may go to jail or be forced to leave Congress, but Trump will serve no time. It'd be unprecedented and too complicated. After all, he was our president. What are we going to do? Ban him from serving in office? Who cares? He'll still get Secret Service protection, and it's all on our dime. Hallelujah. I've got to get ready for work. Bless us, robots, with your most attuned and articulate knowledge. Bless us. Oh, no. She's speaking to me. Bless us, robots. You're not a robot. There's not a robot in this community. I envy your brain, Lady B says. School us, oh wise one. You're the only sanity most of us got. Brain dead, locked out, numb, not up to speed. Lady B. God, I do not deserve such accolades. Because some evenings I get in here and I crawl in behind the mic. And I just feel like I don't understand. I feel clueless. I want to provide answers, and there aren't any answers. I mean, you know, on the one hand, sure. We can laugh at him. He is so blatantly, outrageously sick. But most of us were raised to not laugh at sick people. But what in the hell are you supposed to do when, I mean, the very fact that today, before the hearing got started, this dim-witted, slovenly gas bag demanded of the networks that were airing the hearings. He demanded equal time. The fairness doctrine has been dead longer than Ronald Reagan, who killed it, has been. The hissy that he threw was to say on his fake Twitter platform. His hissy. Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go, Brother Deacon Asa. Cobb salad. Yummy.
The fake news networks are perpetuating lies, falsehoods, and Russia, Russia, Russia type disinformation. Same sick people. Here we go again. By allowing the low-rated but nevertheless one-sided and slanderous unselect committee hearings. Ratings? He mentions their ratings? Honey, the first hearing had 20 million viewers. That's about 16 million more than you ever got on The Apprentice. And 14 million more than you ever got on Celebrity Apprentice when people were tuning in to see if Mr. Loaf could go to work for you.
It is a one-sided, highly partisan witch hunt, the likes of which has never been seen in Congress before. Therefore, I am hereby...
Okay, well, they're going to have to do it, because he said hereby.
I am hereby demanding equal time to spell out the massive voter fraud and Dem security breach.
And then all caps,
I demand equal time!
Then, of course, Liz Cheney, who lives rent-free in Nitwit Nero's head, jumped on to talk about the hearing today, and she said they would further lay out the relentless effort by Nitwit Nero to force Mike Pence to reject unconstitutionally the victory of Joe Biden. And she tweeted, as a federal judge has indicated, this likely violated two federal criminal statutes. President Trump had no factual basis for what he was doing, and he'd been told it was illegal. Despite this, President Trump plotted with a lawyer named John Eastman and others to overturn the outcome of the election on January 6th. That would be the same John Eastman, which we have now found, whom we have now found out. Pleaded for a pardon after January the 6th. Now, riddle me this, Batman. Why does an innocent man ask for a pardon? Anybody? Anything? Bueller? 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 So, I get the whole brain dead, locked out, numb, and not up to speed part, Lady B. Really, really do. So do. And so we got the hearings today. And it was a hell of a thing. I mean, we're finding out more and more, you know, this was a putsch. This was an attempted overthrow of the government of the United States. This wasn't some sort of innocent riot. This was an attempt to overthrow the Constitution of the United States of America. And someone's, a lot of people, need to pay with their liberty. They need to be cuffed.
And when you put them in the car, don't be so gentle.
And they need to be walked into a prison. A door needs to slam and lock behind them, and they need never breathe another free day for the rest of their natural lives. That, of course, will not happen. And it frustrates me no end to say something like that, but it is true. But we have greater problems in this country. Oh, hell yes, we do. We have big problems. Take, for instance, Mr. Meth Pillow, Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is really angry. I mean, sure, he's angry that his God Emperor isn't president anymore. I get that. But no, he's... he's really, really, really angry about something else. What could that possibly be?
It's just me and this, the executive VP of Walmart. And he gets on there. Now, remember, the CMO said sales are fatiguing, which was a lie. This guy, I talked to him and I said, this will be your biggest product buy through in the history of Walmart. Just like my other three price points were. I said, we're going to give you a MyPillow at $19.88. That's what you can retail it for in your store. And so
this is Walmart. This is what, you know, keeps Mr. Meth Pillow up at night. Oh, honey, get help.
All of a sudden he goes, well, no, we're not ever having my pillow again. He said, you don't make the rating of a four. And I go, what rating system? And he goes, I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, 2.5 years ago, we put in a rating system. And I go, what? I said, I'm high rated. I look it up. We've made it a 5, a 4, 3.8. These are just customer ratings. I said, you do realize bots and trolls attack all the time. And he goes, no. He says, well, we're canceling my pillow. And he had this smirk on his face. I said, goodbye.
It was a smirk. Not a smirk. A smirk. Maybe it's an upper Midwest thing. I don't know.
You're going to be all over the news tomorrow. And I slammed the computer. He lied, straight up lied. It was all to slow play Mike Lindell.
Yeah, it's precious when Mr. Meth Pillow goes on a rant, and the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Wait, yeah. So today, you know, they got this hearing going on in Congress, but the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, well, he's got a different agenda for the day. He's, We're going to talk about Mr. Meth Pillow being canceled by Wally World. Yeah. They're going a long way. They're going a long way to try to keep their simpletons from ever watching the hearings and finding out what the hell happened. Angry Mr. Meth Pillow. Lee in New York says, simple recommendation, have him press his pillow to his face and scream. Scream until you stop from exhaustion or, you know, lack of oxygen. Right. Matt in San Francisco says, equal time for Nitwit Nero. I'll give him access to the milk crate on the corner of Market and Polk. Scream your fool head off, fool.
Right.
Is that, okay, is that a real thing, Matt? Is there really a milk crate on the corner of Market and Polk in San Francisco? And can you just go there for the entertainment value? Do the people who talk about a race of men in the trees and they're for tough legislation, do they stand up on the milk crate at the corner of Market and Polk and tell the world? Sometimes this program feels a little like that. I try to remain sane, but it's not always easy. At the same time the hearing was going on today, a woman by the name of Simone Gold was in a federal courtroom. On Thursday, in D.C., Simone Gold told a federal judge, Christopher Cooper, my reputation has been shredded. This is because she pleaded guilty to a single charge of unlawfully and knowingly entering and remaining in a restricted building and ground during the attempted coup of January 6, 2021. Well, hi, Lucy. Come here, baby. Come on up. No? Okay. Did you hear her talking? She doesn't like Simone Gold either. Now, you have to bear in mind, Simone Gold is a real Lulu. She's apparently a doctor. And, she did go into the Capitol during the attempted coup of January 6th. But she also earned a bit of infamy for the fact that she was another one of those hydroxychloroquine freaks. She was a part of, I guess, America's frontline doctors. She's actually a licensed emergency room physician. And she was out there howling against the vaccine. And, of course, she's got a website, and it connected to a third party that would provide for $90 a telemedicine consultation and would then, for a little more money, give out prescriptions for, you know, aquarium tank cleaner, aquarium cleaner. Or, you know, porcupine antifungal. She shrieked and screamed because she knows that there are rubes in America who will fall for this shit.
With the tyranny of medical apartheid nipping at our heels, rise up! Rise up! Rise up!
Oh, for God's sakes. And here's the amazing part. California, could y'all do something, please? She is still a licensed medical provider in the state of California. But anyway, Judge Christopher Cooper, hearing Simone Gold talk about how her reputation has been shredded, he pointed out that she gave an interview to the Washington Post in which she told the Washington Post that it bothered her because the photos of her inside the Capitol building would harm her attempts to keep people from getting vaccinated. And Judge Cooper went on to say that, well, you've told me about how your participation in this crime affected you, but you didn't have much to say about the five people who died. And so Judge Christopher Cooper said, I think you well knew what you were doing, and gave her 60 days in jail, and ordered that she pay $9,500. So hopefully it was an immediate remand, and that she's not going to stay out pending appeal. But that's not included in the coverage. And Judge Cooper was right. She knew what she was doing, and that phrase can be applied equally well to everyone in the insurrection. Planning it, plotting it, funding it, participating in it, supporting it, promoting it, braying about it on places like Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Accountability is going to be far too rare. Now, with the J6 hearings up and running, Representative Zoe Lofgren of California spoke to Raw Story after the hearing concluded today. And she said that they will, in fact, be turning over everything they have to the Department of Justice. Because last month, the DOJ asked for transcripts, and Chairman Thompson said they couldn't turn them over quite yet. But that's because it would be, you know, just give them everything when they've got everything to give. But, apparently they will turn it all over. And speaking of members of Congress, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee said that she's worried. And she said, this is what democracy has to do. If you fight for and have lost souls in a bloody battle, if you help the people of Ukraine to preserve their democracy, then you must do this, because our democracy is almost gone. And then this line. Donald Trump still to this day, does not seem to understand what I think is the prime conspiracy that he perpetuated on the American people, on Vice President Pence, and on the United States Congress. And then she added that it's possible. Wow, it's almost like she listens to the program. Because do you remember how much time we actually expended on this? She said Congress needs to take a look at whether the 25th Amendment has the teeth that it needs. And she looked at that tortured process that we went over time after time after time, wherein the cabinet has to have a majority vote of people signing off that the president is a few forks shy of a chandelier. And she said, is that going to be the right procedure to utilize? And I think we found that it isn't. You know, by the time the 25th Amendment was ratified, we'd been through several situations where, you know, we learned that our rules of succession were not necessarily all that they should be. And yet, somehow or another, there's what I consider to be a shocking lack of urgency. You know, today, Mary Gay Scanlon, Democrat from New York, said Trump and everyone around him knew that the theories they were pressing were, to quote the former attorney general, bullshit. Yeah, but they still did it. And, of course, Judge Michael Luttig, who was very deliberate in his speech, you know, he wasn't some raving liberal acolyte of, I don't know, William Brennan. No, he's a right-wing law, a right-wing judge, and he was a mentor to, well, there he is, the guy who begged for the pardon even though he's innocent, John Eastman. And he was also a mentor to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and perhaps a date of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. Wonder if he grew the beard because Lauren likes beards. And, He got the idea. He really didn't like to say, y'all, they're going to do it again. But as Joy pointed out, he kind of said that. If not in so many words. And, kudos as well to Representative Bill Pascrell Jr. of New Jersey, who today called for the resignation from the Supreme Court of the United States of Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas. He made the demand based upon the actions of course, Jenny Thomas, because he had become familiar with the reports that said that she was part and parcel of the attempt to block the certification of Joe Biden after the 2020 election. You know, we've gone over this kind of stuff, the correspondence with Mark Meadows and John Eastman, there he is again. Representative Pascrell said, Clarence Thomas cannot possibly be seen as a neutral actor, but instead as a corrupt justice who has poisoned the High Court. Clarence Thomas should have dignity and final respect for our democracy and resign. Well, Representative Pascrell, he's not going to do that. So, ball's in your court. You know the remedy that the Constitution provides. If you believe that strongly that he needs to go, then you need to do something to help him out the door. And you know what? He's got a lot of seniority, Pascrell does, so it's probably a safe bet that maybe this is an indication that there are some conversations taking place about perhaps a bill of impeachment for Slappy. And the political calculation, you know, look, we hate political calculations, but we also have to recognize that political calculations are a thing. And then you get into the debate about, you know, do we do politics out of fear, or do politics from a position of power? With every major media outlet prophesying that the Republicans are going to take the House in November of this year, 2022. they won't lightly consider a bill of impeachment for fear that it will blow up in their face. But you got to admit, if you're gonna, you know, after the J6 hearings conclude, well, it sure would be interesting to have some committee hearings, maybe the House Committee on the Judiciary, to hold some impeachment hearings in regard to Slappy and Ginny. Flavio noting, Ginny Thomas says she can't wait to go before the J6 committee to clear up any misconceptions. Her words, Flavio adds. Right. Misconceptions. You know, misconceptions that come from the actual words that she said. As Pascrell noted, we read yet more reports that the wife of the longest-serving justice on the Supreme Court was actively conspiring with Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the election and overthrow American democracy. And while she was doing all this, her husband, Justice Thomas, was hearing litigation related to the 2020 election at the High Court. And what did he hold? Yeah. And Bill Pascrell went on with a tweet and said, here are the 138 House Republicans who voted to install Trump as a dictator hours after rioters tried to do the same. 138 traitors. 138 oath breakers. Who, almost to a person, remain in their seats to this day. Sobering. Depressing. Let's run over to the phones. I think I'm guessing we have Paul from Parts Unknown. Is that you, Paul?
Yes, it is, Robin. Good guess.
Ah, great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Good to be heard. Good to hear the show. And things are going fairly well. But I've just been locked up in overtime and training new people. So I can't time my breaks.
I understand. So are you okay? Are you doing well?
It's just a lot. The puppies and working a lot of overtime and just keeping the news together is not a lot of time to breathe. I'm even behind on the news. I'm not up to date on what's going on with the January 6th committee hearings, just that it's fairly damning from what I can glean.
Yeah, that to say the least.
But at the end of the day, this is, I don't know if they're going to prosecute anybody, but there's, for this to be really fixed, so the supporters of the Republican Party, actual voters, have to be disgusted enough not to vote for them in large numbers. And I don't think that that can exist right now. I don't think there's anything that they can do, but maybe we're just very close to our McCarthy, sir, at long last, you have no decency moment, and have it just click. But I don't know if that moment's ever going to come.
I don't either. I don't know if we've got it in us anymore.
I mean, to the casual observer, Donald Trump has no decency.
No.
I wanted to call in.
But, yeah,
and,
go ahead.
Sorry. I wanted to call in and just update on a few stories. I don't have much COVID to report, just what my family is planning to do and sort of my own opinions, but I don't have a lot of facts. And I also have a Honky the Goose update.
Oh, really?
And a puppy update.
Oh, I saw the pictures. So, the puppies are adorable.
Yeah. They are full on wandering around the house, running around. They are full-on puppy toddlers. I have trademarked the name Puddlers because that seems appropriate.
Matching those two words
together. So the little Puddlers are starting to be adopted out tomorrow evening and over the weekend. And so it's been nice, but and they're cute, and I love them. And we, our family, came very, very close to keeping one of them ourselves, little Beatrice. She's just so cute and so cuddly.
Aww.
And we're falling in love with her. But we ended up saying goodbye to her too. We have a rule in the house, which is that all three members of the household have to agree to keep a puppy. And she's not so little anymore. Sorry, 11-year-old Claire said, no, she's cute, but I don't want any more responsibility. She's getting into that tween phase of respond to what?
Yeah, sure.
But I think it was a good moment because both my wife and I wanted to keep the little puppy, and she didn't, and the rule was we all had to agree. And so I think it's good kind of reinforcement that she does carry weight in family decisions.
That's a beautiful little moment of family consensus building. That will, you know, she'll actually learn from that down the road.
One can hope so. The problem is that she'll learn it when she's 24. You'd like to have her teach her the lesson at 11 and have her learn at 12 or 13.
Yeah, true enough. True enough.
The more I parent, the more I learn that it's not teaching lessons. It's more like planting lessons. You're just planting little seeds of lessons that will blossom over a decade or so. Kind of like an olive tree. It takes a while to bear fruit.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's a beautiful moment when you actually get to see it in practice. And you go, hey, we did something right.
I'm so desperate right now. I would just settle for put things away. Like put the cereal box away after pouring the cereal. It's just, she's lost object permanence. As soon as it's no longer needed in her world, it just stays where it is.
Exactly.
So for COVID updates, there is some scientific talk, but there's not a lot of consensus from the research I've been doing. It seems like there are some people that are trying to speculate and predict, but basically the attitude of the COVID right now on the scientific view in America is wait and watch. We don't know what's going to happen. Unless things change, how my family is planning to react to this is that we believe that COVID will be stronger in the winter. And what you're seeing now is the heat and the sun and the dryness that's happening in America starting to slow down the COVID spread, and that it will be back in the winter. So we are delaying our fourth shot, our second boosters, until about August of this coming year. That's also when Claire is eligible for her booster, since she got the two shots in December and January. So we're going to get her boosted in August when she's eligible, and we're going to get our second boosters around that same time. To basically have 6 months, the booster is going to give you 6 months of protection roughly. So we figure August to February, good covering a lot of the cold season, and definitely getting covered during the holidays when people are out around traveling and visiting. So that might be a recommendation if that sounds good to you, Horn community. That might be a good plan. So that's kind of where
let me get this straight. I want to make sure I understand properly. Hold off on the booster until like late summer.
Yeah, because numbers are, there are pockets like parts unknown is a pocket where it's getting really high, but in general, we're trending down, we're trending away. The symptoms are going down, the cases are going down, and it's because it's hot and dry, and that's just death to this thing. Cloudy, wet type environment. And right now, parts unknown is very cloudy and wet for June. And I think that's part of the reasons why parts are known is higher than the rest of the country. But in Arizona or Texas, I've heard triple digits with this heat wave, with the weather. It's just going to burn up in the atmosphere, and you don't even really want to go outside and see people when it's that hot. So it's kind of like, it has dual function. It keeps people away from each other, and it keeps, and it's so hot that it burns up the virus and the light in the sun. It doesn't take much. If the air is dry and the sun's on it, I doubt it lives more than 10 to 15 seconds after coming out of your mouth and nose if you're a carrier.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, the sun.
Well, I mean, okay. So let me ask you this: our numbers are ramping up here in West Virginia. Are you saying that?
Okay.
Are you making what you just suggested? Is that uniform, or do you go ahead and booster up in the places where the numbers are climbing?
I don't know, Robin, to be honest. Back to wait and watch. My plan can change. If the numbers start spiking here in parts unknown and get super high and mask mandates are put back in, I'm getting my booster. I'll get it early. I'll change my plan. You have to adapt to what's happening.
Sure.
But there are people that there's a group of people, scientists, that believe, and we're emphasizing the word believe here with scientists. Like, so when the scientist says that, there's not a lot of confidence behind that. believe that it will have a similar pace to China with the stealth Omicron, because it's just very contagious. And some people believe, and I'm in this camp, that the heat and the hotness of the summer will keep it tamped down, and you'll get low testing positive rates and low hospitalization rates, but it will be everywhere in America, much like when this thing started in the summer of 2020. You had those low infection rates, but it started hitting everywhere. There was nowhere that wasn't untouched, so it kind of spread its seeds all over the country. And then when winter hit and it got cold, we started losing 5,000 people a day, because it was everywhere. And then when the environment changed, that it could spread again without the hindrance of the sun and the hot, dry air, it blew up. So that's what I'm planning for, is to make sure that you have the COVID booster going when the blow-up happens. If the blow-up actually happens this summer, then I'd recommend getting it earlier. And I will get it earlier if the numbers go crazy up. But if you're trying to pace yourself and think it's going to happen Halloween, next Thanksgiving, December, and January, when people are traveling, the weather's colder, people are sicker, have lower immune response, there's less light in the day, less hours of sunlight in the day to kill it, that's when it's going to blow up. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, you want
to have that booster surfboard. You want to have that booster surfboard ready to catch that wave. I just can't tell you when that wave will come.
Yeah, it's like any surfing. You just got to be out there watching for the wave.
Yeah, basically.
Just paddle around until it comes.
That's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing.
Well, and yeah, you talk about hot. I mean, it is. God knows. I have not seen a heat wave like this in West Virginia. I can't remember when it was like this in June. This is just, but it's not hot and dry. It's air you can wear. It's hot and muggy and sticky and gross.
That's the humidity. Higher humidity means a bigger water droplet that's got a higher diameter, and the virus can hide deeper in the water droplet. And the more water protection you've got from, just like, staying submerged under the lake when it's sunny out, if anything under the water is not burnt, everything above the water is burnt. And so if you were just playing water volleyball, in a lake as a kid, and you were up to your chest in the water, and you didn't have any sunscreen, then everything above your nipples is burnt. Sort of the same idea.
Yep.
You're giving more room for the virus to submerge into the water droplet. And though, another tenth of a millimeter doesn't sound like much, but to a virus, that's like 100 widths of its diameter. So it's a lot of protection.
Well, you are actually being a little more hopeful than you have been of late.
The numbers are coming down, and I don't think it's gone. I fear that it's going to come back because we're going to drop our guard. I don't think it's gone. The scariest thing that I don't want to scare the horn community, but the scariest thing I've seen is that is a variant that's kind of starting to get legs underneath it, but stealth Omicron still beating it out, and it's it is a Delta and Omicron baby, basically, that has Delta severity, Omicron, but not stealth Omicron, which is even more contagious. It has Omicron's contagiousness, and it could do some real damage. It's currently not up there too much on the percentage of positive tests. Stealth Omicron still outweighs it. But if that were to change, we could have some serious problems because the Delta, that variant, they program their boosters to fight Omicron. That variant is more Delta than Omicron and is getting around Omicron immunities. So people that have just had Omicron immunity don't have it, won't be at any at all protected, whether it's from a booster shot or having the COVID before. So I'm watching that, and I'm only saying that because that's a maybe. It's not a tangible threat yet. When it becomes a tangible threat, I will definitely send up the flares to the horn community. But it's out there, and we're watching it. This is the third one I've seen that we've been watching and hoping it goes away because it's stamped out by more contagious variants that are less severe that give you immunity from that variant. So there's some that have peaked a little bit and then disappeared because they were just out-produced and out-immunized by something that was more contagious and moving faster. But this one's hanging on a little bit. It's not growing, but it's not going away. So I'm just keeping my eye on it.
Well, that seems to be a perfectly rational approach. But let's talk masking?
I'm still masking at work. Our work had mandatory maskings for 1 week during Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Week, the short four-day Memorial Week. And after that, it went back to optional. I'm still masking. I'm still taking precautions. I'm still wearing KN95s into grocery stores everywhere I go except the house. Don't care. And I'm just keeping it protected, and you know what? Other people aren't wearing masks, but I still haven't gotten COVID, and about 50% of my lab has, so my precautions are working.
Well, it's hard to argue with what appears to be empirical success.
Yes. A lot of my people, my circle, have gotten it. And one of my coworkers was super upset because he got it from his kid, and his kid got it from the contact trace, and the kid that gave it to his kid was sent to the school by the parents who knew he had COVID. And so they found seven kids in his school, his son being one of them, traced them all back to the same bus and traced them all back to that one sick kid. And basically went, no. And he and all the other parents that got their kids sick from that one kid were basically in that principal's office, basically having a, what's called, heated discussion with him.
Yeah. Heated. Right. So tell me about Honky.
I was going to say, I want to change gears and go Puppy and Honky. So for those of the horn community that don't know, I sent a charming email to Bob in January of this year telling about the legend of Honky the Goose. Honky was a goose who, a couple years ago, there was a goose around our neighborhood whose wing was injured and he couldn't really fly. He could fly for a few seconds at a time, enough to like hop over a fence or hop from one side of the sidewalk to the other, crossing a street so we wouldn't get hit by cars. That's about it. And he was just going around the neighborhood looking for food and couldn't really be mobile. And my neighbor is a retired postal worker with a passion for gardening and has a heated koi fish pond in his backyard. And this goose hopped over enough fences, and this is in the middle of winter, to find the hot, heated pool and then just hung out there. And my neighbor is a fairly nice and easygoing guy. So, well, there's a goose in my backyard. All right, whatever. And just let the goose be there. And then over time, he kind of fed the goose a little bit, made sure the goose is okay. And the goose fully, like, just like, I'm just going to help heal this goose. I'm going to make sure that he has enough food and water and resources and shelter to heal up his wing away from predators and then fly free away. He's just allowed to hang. He can squat. And so over the course of time, the goose just really bonded to my neighbor and became kind of his pet and hung out with him. And he would go on bicycle rides with the goose he named Honky flying right behind him, about 10 feet in the air and about 25 feet back. And it was the talk of the neighborhood, and Honky was pretty friendly and wouldn't let you pet him, but you could say hi and get kind of, you know, close enough to touch him. But he was just fairly sociable. But he does not like me. He has harassed me. He has chased me off my roof when I'm trying to clean my gutters and sweep off my roof. He has harassed my cat. He has pooped on my garden shoes. He has prevented me from getting to a morning meeting. I got there late because he would not let me get to my car or park in the driveway. I literally like had to like, he's coming at me, pecking at me with his beak, and I'm like literally lifting up my leg as if to kick him, but mostly just using the sole of my shoes as a shield as his beak is bouncing off the sole of my shoes.
Oh my God.
So, oh yeah, no, he is aggressive. Like, I did not want to fight him on the roof. I wanted to get down. Like, he does come after me. Like, not in a I'm going to kill you way, but definitely like in a territorial I'm in charge way.
Yeah, this is my turf. You're on it.
But Honky is the neighborhood mascot. Everyone loves Honky, and except for Claire, who also the Honky doesn't like. So, there has been some like, hey, what did you deal with Honky? Did you like do something mean to him? I'm like, no, he just doesn't like me. Sorry. So that's Honky, and that's sort of the up-to-date story. So to tell the last part of the story of Honky, who is my neighbor's pet goose, I have to tell you about what happened last Saturday night. Last Saturday night, I was in charge of babysitting the mama and the five puppies, who are very cute, nine-week-old puppies at this time. And they are rambunctious and running around and having fun and exploring the brave new world. They are no longer timid of new areas. They're excited and ready to see what's next. They've made that psychological transition. And in doing so, they have been digging under the fences and creating problems. I've plugged up four holes now as so far. They're digging under the front gate to get in the front yard. The mom just digs a hole and lets her puppies through. So I cleared off doing the honeydew list. There were some blackberries growing on the side of our house in a little fenced-in area across on the same side that my neighbor with the goose, with Honky, lives. And so there were some blackberries there, and I cleared them out. And, there's stuff in the backyard, like, you know, old pallets from firewood on where we keep that stuff, and we store a couple of kayaks back there. Well, where the blackberries go, and it's a new wonderland for the dogs to play in, and they start hiding in the kayaks. And so sometimes you got to kind of like lift up the kayak and pull them out of there.
Aww.
So it's last Saturday night at around 10 o'clock, I've let the dogs and the puppies out in the backyard for their final potty before I lock down the house and go to bed for the night. And I can't find them. And I go out to the kayaks where they're in the dark and it's raining. And I start peeling them out of the kayak, like lifting the kayaks and peeling out puppies. I bring the mama back, and she's cool with being inside where it's dry and light and warm. And then I bring the puppies, because the puppies typically follow mama. I bring, but they didn't this time, and I brought the puppies, carried a couple of puppies to the mama inside, put them down. So here's mama, hang out, and I'm just going to keep bringing puppies in. Well, they ran back out. The puppies ran back out through the door and back into the kayaks. So this is not going anywhere. So I'm now, like, opening the door crack and shoving one puppy in the inside at a time until I capture them all. And I can't find a puppy. I'm missing a puppy. I'm looking for the backyard. I'm looking in the house. Maybe she snuck in. Maybe she's in the garage. I'm searching the house. Can't find little Lily. She's nowhere.
Oh.
And so I slowly pull the kayaks off, and I go, oh, and I look with a flashlight in the rain. It's just raining. In the rain at 10:15 night in soaking pajamas because I'm about to go to bed. Pulling the kayaks off. There's a hole, a very small hole, that's been dug by Renata behind the kayaks into my neighbor with a goose's yard, backyard. And I can hear her whining through the fence, or some dog whining that sounds like her. And I'm like, oh no, she made it in there. And then I hear this yelp, like, rump! And I'm like, oh shit, did Conky just take out Lily? Oh shit. So I go out through my front door, I go to my neighbor's house at 10:15 at night, knock very politely on the door in soaking pajamas in the rain and go, hi, I'm your neighbor, you know me. I apologize for the lateness of the hour. Luckily, they were still awake, and I said, the mom and dog's been digging through, and I think there's a puppy in the backyard. I got a flashlight here. Can you please just, I'll just go into the backyard and look for her. And so they very politely let me in. I couldn't find her in the backyard, couldn't find her in their backyard, couldn't find her anywhere, looking every nook and cranny she could hide in, because she's one of the smaller puppies. She's only about 4 pounds, so she can hide in small places. And no go. So I go back into the backyard. I searched the kayaks again, and I had pulled the kayaks completely off. She was not in the kayaks, but there she was. She had made her way back through the hole and back into our yard. So I got her, captured her, put her back in, and go back to the neighbor and say, I found her. It's all good. Sorry for bothering you again late at night. And they were like, thanks for telling us. And then we all went to bed. So I'll tell my wife that story the next day and go, hey, I thought for a moment that Honky killed Lily. And she's like, Honky's not, my wife is like, tells me, Honky's not there anymore. I'm like, what? So I did not hear this story. They did not tell me because I was busy working overtime so much. So this is what happened with Honky. Someone finally called the animal control on Honky. And Honky was captured and taken away and released somewhere, I don't know where, and he was somewhere fairly far away, and he flew right back to my neighbor's yard.
I was going to say, so you know, they have a sense of direction. And now you got to want, you know.
Yes, they do.
And Honky may have a long memory and know that snitches get stitches. Somebody dropped the dime
absolutely
on Honky.
So, yes, and animal control was then called again. And they went out and captured him again. And they took him even farther away this time. And he escaped and flew back and went back to the yard. The third time animal control was called to capture Honky, they get him, they capture him, they stick him in a cage, and they make arrangements to ship him back to Canada.
And he's apparently being, this happened. Honky's being deported?
Yep. They deported him to Canada sometime in late April, early May, and I just missed the story. And he has not been seen or heard from since. So
I'll be damned.
He is back in Canada, and I don't know if this is the final chapter of it, because if he shows up again, I will let you know, but I feel that's a high possibility.
Yeah, he'll just hook up with another goose gang and he'll illegally migrate again.
Yep. So ends the first story of Honky. He is, after he got there in January, February of 2020, so he was living in my neighbor's pond for a little over 2 years.
Damn, what a story.
So that's where we are. In my life, the puddlers are going to be adopted, and they're finding some happy homes, and Honky has been deported to Canada.
Yeah, I've got this mental image of Honky holding a cup in his little webbed foot and dragging it back and forth across the bars of the cage. Let me out of here, you miserable screws! Well, you just got a note from Scary Jerry. Scary Jerry says, yes, had a new COVID last week, got sick in the last couple of weeks. The night shivers and shakes were nostalgic. Still got that drainage going down my throat. got my taste and smell back at least. Parts unknown, dude. Respect. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm still holding it. A part of the month, the part of the last month that I called back in, I spent almost 2 weeks of it sleeping on the couch because Claire, my wife, got sick. Not COVID, with some sort of head cold, sore throat, nasal congestion thing. They took a bunch of COVID tests. It all was negative when they had huge symptoms. I did not want to catch it because my work does not give me sick days. They just give me vacation days, and vacation days can be used as sick days. And I've already used a lot of vacation days to stay home because I got exposed to COVID twice, and so they just keep you home. And so I'm kind of out of, all my other vacation days for the year are planned. So I can't get sick again. I can't get sick. I never got sick in the first place, but I can't get sick for real with anything and take days off without sacrificing vacation plans at this point. So I spent almost 2 weeks on the couch trying to avoid getting sick, and I succeeded. But it was not fun.
I can imagine it wasn't. Well, listen, as summer comes on and the warm weather comes along, I hope you and your family are able to get out and enjoy the weather. And because, summer seems like it's all too short, and we find it all too easy to kind of piss and moan about the hot weather. And, I said to a friend of mine yesterday, because we were bemoaning the heat, I said, yeah, but I seem to remember us both back in February griping about 15 degrees and we couldn't wait for spring. Well, here it is. Enjoy it. And I've got such a yearning to go to the lake. I got to do that soon. I just got to figure out a way. Go over to Summersville Lake, just hang out, throw a blanket out on the ground, get a couple of sandwiches, put some pop in a cooler, and, just hang out and enjoy the warmth. I still want to learn to. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you said get some of that.
I feel like the two chipmunks from Looney Tunes. After you. No. After you. No. I insist. After you.
No, please. I still want to learn to.
Possibly.
Yeah, I still want to learn to stand up paddleboard. Although I think that involves a lot of falling down, and probably falling in the lake, and I don't know if it's worth it. But it looks like a hell of a lot of fun.
It is. I had to learn how to do it a few years ago, and there was definitely a day of... I must have gotten back up on that paddleboard about 50 times that day. But if you're on enough and stubborn enough, you'll learn it.
Anyways, well, it's on my list.
My break's over.
Oh, okay. Break time's over. Back on your head.
Robin, my break's over. Yep. Oh, and what I wanted to say before is my family's going camping 4th of July weekend, so I get a bit of a break and enjoy the weather here in a couple of weeks.
Be beautiful. That'll be wonderful. Enjoy the great outdoors, Paul. And have a wonderful evening. And
energy level will go from 8 dogs to 5, from 8 dogs to 3 dogs, so that will be nice.
Yep, true. Well, listen, have a wonderful evening. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for checking in. I really appreciate it, and I know the Horn Family Community Congregation does, too.
You're all welcome, and everyone stay safe and healthy out there. You have a nice rest of your evening, Robin.
All right, thanks, Paul. Take care. Bye now. Our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown taking us to the end of this evening's program. Listen, we got a $25 challenge on the table. We're goose-egging again. That makes for tough times. If we could meet that challenge, we would get down to 705, and that would mean that tomorrow was only Friday on the front porch was only $1,005 fundraising crevasse. So if anybody would like to meet Ralph's challenge, it would be supremely appreciated. I've got a meeting here in a couple of minutes I have to attend, so I will. I will sign off early this evening, but Friday on the front porch will be extra double plus normal. I got a note from Todd a few minutes ago saying, yes, tapping into what Lady B was talking about, we should not forget that it is the super wealthy, the ones that are price gouging us as we speak, who received a 20% pay raise on a permanent basis until action is taken, all under the king of the insurrection. We need something like
We need something like a proscription. That's kind of a freighted word. But we need some means of striking down if you find out a president has been, you know, toxic and criminal, then you can assume that everything he did was probably. But wait a minute, if we did that with Nixon, we'd have to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency. Shut up, Robin. Sometimes the ideas aren't so great. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for joining in for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Y'all really do, being able to count on some amount coming in regularly, even when we have giant fundraising holes, does, in fact, keep all of this afloat. Thank you so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers and to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Billions and billions of progressive broadcast hours served. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now a union shop for low about 6 months now. Really proud about that. Please maybe reach out. No maybes, just please, pretty please. Tell your congressman to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It is so vitally important to the future of Appalachia, and we need this bill to get some legs as this Congress runs out. This is the best chance we've ever had to pass it. Damn COVID. Damn it. But I mean, that's where we are. Of course, well, take Paul's advice into account, whether you get your booster now or maybe wait, depending on how it's spreading where you live. But still keep wearing your mask in the big box stores where the unvaccinated are breathing all over the place. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. That 15 to 20 feet is still a pretty good idea. And, well, of course, if somebody's coming towards you on the sidewalk talking about how, well, I guess I'd be pretty upset if somebody blew my kid away, avoid that person like, avoid that indicted Texas Attorney General like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.